Welcome to Where the Rubber Meets the Road with Pastor A.J. Warner, brought to you by His Will Ministry. Our aim is to encourage you in the Word of God and to bring pastors anointed teaching and to show you the hope we have in Jesus Christ. Let us know how the Lord is using this program to bless you. We pray that you will draw nearer to the Lord through pastors teaching and preaching, and that you will build up in the body of Christ. This radio program is only one of our many outreaches. We appreciate the opportunity to encourage you in your walk with Jesus. To learn more about His Will Ministry, visit us on the World Wide Web at HisWillMinistry.org.
When Robert was asking for praises, it brought to mind one of the people that we have on our prayer list. I put my wife in charge of our prayer list, dear. Anyway, what I was going to say is, we're just like the fan and the little fan. I was sitting here thinking, you know, it's warm in here. And then as Robert was asking for prayer requests, we're communicating with a pastor who has 10 pastors under her in the Philippines. And I told her we would more than gladly be helping them any way our ministry could. We would, if God would open the doors, we'd go down there and preach. But for now, anything we could do, she sent her prayer request. You know what her first prayer request was? Her first prayer request was for someone to come up with $200. Because their church building had been blown down. Their church building existed of everything they could scrape together. Trees, junk. They put it together out of everything they could to have this kind of lean-to cover from the sun. And they had a storm come through with high winds and took out their church building. So now they don't even have what they called their church building. And I was sitting here when Robert was asking for praises, and I was thinking, man, you know, it's a little warm in here. But we're not down in the Philippines sitting in the sun with no shade with a rubble pile around us, because that's what's left of our church building. Then she went on and said, if someone would commit to $1,000, we could build a concrete building. I'm thinking, now in this country, we want to build a church. We go out and we start raising $200,000-$300,000, and here you got these people, they're so happy. Cinder blocks for $1,000, they're going to have a church building. I was thinking, we really need to start thinking about where we're at. Then the next prayer request was, she has 10 pastors, 9 pastors below her, 10 total, that they came out of the same Bible school. And they decided that with no job, no income, no nothing, they were going to go out and evangelize the Philippines. So each one has their own little church. You know what the prayer request was? The prayer request was that someone would commit to $100 a month per pastor, because they don't even have enough money among themselves to buy clothes or shoes or daily necessities or food. And I was thinking, you know, we live in the richest country in the world. And this is one thing God has brought to us since we've gotten onto the prayer request. I have another pastor that he's been in the ministry. He pastored a church for years, and God told him he wanted me to become an evangelist in Africa. And he'd like to get some multimedia equipment, just some printers and a couple of computers to run the ministry. And apparently the country that he lives in, there's exactly one computer store owned by the government. And he went in one time to talk to the fellow, and the fellow says, yeah, I think I've seen one person come in since we opened it up. The government just pays for everything. And I told him the price of what I could get a printer for here in the United States, and he emailed me back and he says, well, multiply that by about 10 times and I can buy that printer at the government computer store. And see, Pastor was talking this morning about us being asleep. And that's where I'm going. I'm going to get around about there, just kind of like the fan goes back and forth. Sooner or later, I'm going to get around to my sermon. I'm not even there yet. Pastor was talking about us being asleep. And think about it. We have it so good. You know, I don't care if you can't pay your bills. I don't care if you can't aren't perfectly healthy. You're sitting here tonight in a building that's covering you with the freedom to listen to the Word or speak it. See, when Robert gets up here and says, does anybody have a praise request? Every single person in this building that's here should jump up and shout hallelujah, praise the Lord. You know, the saddest thing I heard was at church camp. Robert and I were talking, and he was saying, you know what hurts my heart so much? He says, I get up there and I ask for people to give praise reports, and everybody just stares at me with that deer in the headlights look. Praise? What's that? Now think about it. I mean, really hard, think about it. Think about your whole week. Everything that happened from day one to today. You mean to tell me you don't have anything to praise the Lord about? Nothing? I mean, Pam's even praising about her shingles. I mean, I praise the Lord we're down here and He's allowing me to be here with you guys. That's one of the greatest honors you can ever have as a minister is to have the head pastor of a church say, I trust you enough with my sheep. That's one of the greatest honors you can ever have. I praise God that pastor trusts me. And I praise God that you trust me. And I pray to God that if you ever hear me speak a word that's not in here, you come up and say, hey, Because if I ever speak a word that's not in this book, I better not be preaching anymore. I better be out of the pulpit because I don't deserve to be here. Now, I may speak some controversial things. My wife was reminding me last week at the end of services I shouldn't have made you guys think a little bit, but I don't know whether you did. How many of you dug into your Bible after last Sunday night when we were talking about the person that had never, ever heard of Jesus or the Gospels going to heaven? How many people just dug into their Bible to see what God said about that? Tito did. And you found that they're not, didn't you? See, if you dug into your Bible, no matter what we think, no matter how much we love God and say God loves us, if we dig into the Word of God, we can find these verses that say, oh, they might be in heaven. But if we study all of it, we realize that the Lord, our Savior, said, no man comes to the Father except through me. See, so it doesn't matter what laws you live under, doesn't matter how good you are, you're not getting there without Jesus, without salvation. But she, all the way home last week, she was on me about that one. She said, now, you shouldn't have said that. You know, pastor's going to come up to you and tell you you're telling him this. I said, no, I didn't. But I like to throw things out to get you to thinking. Because that's the only way we learn. You know, I can preach to you, pastor can preach to you, Kathy can get up here and love you, Robert can love you, but you're not going to get anywhere until you get into this. You know, this is one evangelist, I always loved his term, he said, I call this the manufacturer's handbook. God made me, and He gave me the manual. And he said, you want to know how it goes? Us men, we're just like us men. You give us a VCR manual, we won't read it. Women, they're in this thing all the time trying to figure out how to make us men work right. It's in there. It's called prayer. But anyway, sometimes I'll throw stuff out at you. And what I want you to do is just really think. And that's what we're going to do tonight. We're going to do some hard thinking. I'm going to kind of follow along where Pastor finished. I want you to go to Jude. Now, how many people know who Jude was? It should be an easy question. Jude was who, Robert? Well, he probably was. How many people know who Jude was? I mean, we don't hear about him in the Gospels, really. And yet, here's this just short, very concise letter from Jude. Well, the Bible answer to the Bible trivia question is, Jude was Jesus' brother, or technically by legalities, his half-brother. Now, if you remember your Gospels, you remember in your Gospels where there was a festival going on and what happened. Jesus' brothers came up to him, and Jesus' brother said, why don't you go to the festival? If you want people to know you, You want them to see your miracles. What better place to go but the festival? And what did Jesus say? It's not my time. See, at that time, his brothers didn't believe him. But by the time we get to this letter being written, 30 years after Christ's death, you can read through here and you can tell Jude starts out with, Jude, a servant of Christ, Jesus Christ, the brother of James, to those who are called, beloved in God the Father, and kept for Jesus Christ. Total transformation, isn't it great? Have you ever watched our relatives? When we become Christians, what's their reaction? Oh, I know him. I know how he lived. I know how he thought. He's just faking. Or he doesn't mean it. Haven't you ever noticed that? When minute you step out for Jesus, what happens? Yeah, you're right. That's right. That's the simplest way to put it. Someone makes fun of you. Gary was telling me this morning how upset he was because the motorcycle club that he used to ride with and is still partially associated with built a ramp for Doug Sanders' house. Doug's the one that was in the accident. Huh? Doug Knight. Doug Knight, Gary Sanders. And Sellers. Where's the spray? Told you it's getting too hot up here. And he was upset because they hadn't called him. And I didn't have the heart to tell him that's because he's going a different way than they are now. He's no longer a part of them because he's chosen Jesus, and now he's going a different way. See, that's sometimes the hardest thing for us as human beings. And that's why we become asleep. That's why we become lukewarm, because it's so hard for us to walk that narrow road that Jesus talks about. Jesus never said it was going to be easy, did he? If he did, he would have said, why don't you guys take that wide interstate that's going to take you straight to heaven, and all these other people are going to take this narrow, little, windy, hard-to-find road to hell? No, he said it the other way around, didn't he? He said, you need to take the narrow, hard-to-find path while the rest of them are on the interstate to hell. It's kind of sad, isn't it? Why is it that way? Mary had a vision. I don't know if I told you this last week or not. I told it to Ray this morning. Mary had a dream or vision last week. And it was right after the Episcopalians did what they did and said the Holy Spirit was doing a new thing and God was doing a new thing. And her vision was, have you ever seen a tidal wave, even a picture of a tidal wave, what they look like? Well, take that tidal wave and make it jet black. And make it filled with every kind of evil you could ever imagine. Every kind of evil you could ever imagine. Add in a nice boiling wave. Add in the stench of death and garbage and vomit and sickness. And it was so real, she almost got sick to her stomach from it because she could smell this. And this wave was coming over America. This wave was taking over America. And then she saw people being consumed, just the average people being consumed. And all it left behind it was total darkness, void of all the light. Then she saw Christians. She knew they were Christians going about their daily duties, living their lives like we do. And yet they didn't see it. It just came over them and consumed them. And all that was left was darkness. And the final part of the vision was a group of Christians that stood their ground against the evil. They stood with both hands out. One hand out, one hand with the Word of God. And she saw the Word of God alive and glowing. And as the evil came over, it couldn't touch them but went around. And everywhere that group of Christians was filled with clean, light, holiness, righteousness. A couple of years ago, she had a similar dream that God gave her, because she was crying out about what was going on in the world. And he showed her the earth, surrounded by this black ring. And you could see in that ring demons and evil. And God said, this is the way it is right now. And then all of a sudden, it just kind of flowed over the earth. And God said, that's what it's going to be if you Christians don't stop it. See, you and I are the only light this world has. If God wanted to, I could turn those light bulbs out and keep preaching because we'd glow so much. We wouldn't have to have electric lights. We're the only light that can dispel this darkness. And if we don't, and that's what we're going to talk about if I ever get there tonight, if we don't start getting awake and alive, we're going to be like that vision Mary had. That darkness is going to overpower us. It's going to overcome us. And it's going to consume us. And once it consumes you, there was nothing left. It was just darkness behind it. Now I'm going to ask a poignant question to you, and I don't want you to answer it, I want you to think about it. In the last 7 days, have you watched something on television that you knew you shouldn't watch? Have you read something you knew you shouldn't read? Have you discussed something with someone you knew you shouldn't discuss? Because those are starts of lukewarmness. If you can turn on any mainstream television program and watch almost any commercial on TV and it doesn't bother you, you're on the way to being lukewarm. Mm-hmm. If what happened 2 weeks ago with the church doesn't bother you, you're way past going to lukewarm and you're in the center of it, falling over to dead. We're going to look at some scriptures tonight about lukewarmness, because we all have this feeling, just like I was talking about last week, that our God's a loving God, which He is. But also our God is a just God. And He has set out in His book the rules, the regulations, the necessities that you and I need for our salvation and our life preparation here to be in heaven. Just like we were talking last week, you don't get there no matter how good you are, no matter how much you live under your known rules, you don't get there without Jesus. And the reason I firmly believe that is because I was reading a book, and this is a true occurrence, about a missionary who went into the back country of Africa. No white man had ever been there. When they showed up to evangelize this small group of cannibals, is what they thought, they found the Bible in their own language. They found that they were worshiping God and Jesus. They found that they were no longer cannibals. The story is that the witch doctor was up on the hill sacrificing to God and worshiping God. Not God, just one singular God. They didn't know which one, but they knew they needed to sacrifice, needed to worship for their sins. And according to the witch doctor, a man showed up. A man showed up that told him he didn't want to be worshipped that way. He said, I am the God you're worshipping, and I don't want to be worshipped that way. And he told him that he was the Son of God. And over the next few months, he taught that witch doctor how to be a Christian. He gave that witch doctor the Bible. And no white man had ever been there. But you had a village of Christians that worshiped Jesus Christ. See, things like that convince me that my God loves us so much that He'll even show up when we least expect it, to help us do what we're supposed to do. Let's go to Jude. There's only one chapter, so it's obviously chapter 1. And let's start in 5. Now this is approximately written 35 years after Jesus' death. Okay? Just 35. Not 2,000, just 35. Now I desire to remind you, though you were once full, for all fully informed, that he who saved the people out of the land of Egypt afterwards destroyed those who do not believe, and the angels that did not keep their own position, but left their proper dwelling, having been kept by him in eternal chains in the nether gloom until the day of judgment, just as Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding cities, which were likewise acted immorally and indulged in unnatural acts, serve as an example by undergoing punishment of eternal life. What's he saying there? He's saying, my God, who saved the Israelites out of Egypt, turned around and killed every single one of them because they wouldn't believe in him, didn't he? He's saying, my God, who created these angelic beings because they wouldn't listen to him and do what they were supposed to, has condemned them to hell for eternal fire. He says, my God, who took these people who committed immoral acts, have put them in eternal fire until the judgment day. What's he telling us, trying to tell us here? Robert? Right. But he's also telling us another thing. He's telling us that our God that loved us is just enough that if we walk away or don't do what he wants, we'll be like the Israelites. That's what he's telling us. I had one pastor, and I don't know whether it's true. I always tell you this because I don't. But I had one pastor that said to me one time, he said that he personally believed that the rapture was a reward for the workers. I don't know whether it is or not. I don't know whether it's going to be all Christians or it's going to be a reward for the workers. But we have indications that after the rapture, there's somebody left here preaching the gospel. Now, they're either Christians that are left here, God miraculously gave them the drive to preach it, or they picked up a Bible and started reading and were inspired to preach it. We don't know. We really don't know. But think about it. What does Paul tell us? How many times does Paul tell us, I was taken up to the third heaven. I saw things I can't tell you. He tells us several times, I'm not supposed to tell you about these things. But then again, he always gives us these little windows. It's almost kind of like he's so filled with glory from whatever he saw that he just has to let a little bit out. He can't hold it in. No matter how hard he tries, he can't hold it in. Now, I don't know if that's the case or not. Of course, I also had a pastor once say to me, he said, all I know is that I asked God to give me 15 minutes. And I said, what do you mean? He says, because when the rapture comes, I want to float over him and I want to go, na, 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 na. And I'm thinking, wrong attitude. See, sometimes us men of God tend to get the wrong attitude. There's not supposed to be an attitude of, I'm going and you're not. Though there are a few of us that you don't really want to take him with you. That's another one. Get in there, study the Word, dig it up, and look what your opinion is. Come up with one. Because I don't have any idea. I do believe in the rapture, and I'm one of those people that I like to believe my God loves me so much, I'm going before the tribulation.
Amen.
You know, past that, I really don't care. Because I know there's going to be a rapture, and my belief is, I think my God's going to like me enough, I don't have to go through 7 years or 3.5 years of tribulation, he's going to get me out of here.
Amen.
I have one pastor friend of mine, he says, well, I'm a pan-tribulationist, it's going to all pan out in the end. That's because he doesn't believe in it. He's a Christian. But will he? Now these, I want you to dig, okay? I'm not telling you anything. I want you to dig. Will he be taken in the rapture if he doesn't believe in it? Questions? Look them up. Start reading. I can give you my opinion, but that's my opinion. I want you to form your own. But it's a question. If you're a Christian that doesn't believe in the rapture, is Jesus going to show up and grab you by the bootstraps and take you anyway? I won't give you my opinion. You look it up. There's plenty of scriptures. Okay, let's go to the chapter none of us like to read. Chapter 3 of Revelation, starting with verse 14. To the church, to the angel of the church of Laodicea, write these words. The words of the Amen and the faithful, the true witness, the beginning of God's creation. I know your works and you're neither hot or cold. Would that you were cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot or cold, I will spew you out of my mouth. For you say, I am rich and have prospered and I need nothing, not knowing that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. Now, what's he talking about there? I am rich. No, you're not. You're actually wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. What's he talking about there? Yeah, he's talking about in here. He's not talking about you're wearing a $400 Brooks Brothers suit. He's talking about what? Inside. He says, you think you're rich? Let me tell you something. You're wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, naked. Therefore, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined by the fire that you may be rich, and white garments to clothe you, and keep the shame from your nakedness from being seen, and salve to anoint your eyes, that you may see. We're still on the spiritual plane. Jesus is saying, keep your eyes on me. Come back to me. Buy treasures in heaven, not down here. Okay? Then he says, to those whom I love, I reprove and chasten. So be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and eat with him and he with me. Now, us that are fathers, we know how it is. And you that have been kids, know. But sometimes your dads are a little harsh on you. In love, they're a little harsh on you because they love you so much, they're trying to keep you from doing something. Now, you guys know how big I am. Now, I used to be real skinny, but I'm as tall. But when I was 18 years old, 17 and a half, 18 years old, I was 6'5". I mean, I was scrangly, I was strong, I was one of those kids that, give me a tree, I'll snap it in half and use it for a toothpick. Couldn't do it, but I had that mentality. Haven't you ever seen those teenagers like that? One day, I had taken my car in, which, you know, as a teenager, I didn't bother to notice that my dad had given it to me, even though it was a 59 Plymouth. But I had taken my car into the garage to have something done on the wheels. And my dad was there paying for it. Well, I took it out for a test drive, drove it down the road about a quarter of a mile, and the front wheel fell off. Somebody forgot to tighten the lug nuts. Well, being the kind of guy that could break a tree in half and chew on it, I decided I was going to go chew on somebody. And of course, by the time I'd walked a half a mile back to the gas station, I was mad. I started to say some things. And my dad just walked up to me, and my dad came to about here. My dad walked up to me and he said, you ain't too big to whip. Shut up and go back to your car. And I looked down at him, and I looked into those eyes, and I turned around and went back to my car. But I knew my dad. Didn't matter how big I was, he's going to try to beat me to death. I might have won, but then I wouldn't have been in the house anymore. Yeah. And that's what Jesus is saying here. He just went through saying, you make me sick to my stomach if you're lukewarm.
Hi, I'm Mary Warner, the prayer team supervisor for His Will Ministry. We hope that you were blessed by today's message. You can write us at Post Office Box 1933, Pinedale, Wyoming, 82941. And send me your prayer requests online at mary@hiswillministry.org. We'd like to take the time right now to invite all of you who do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior to come to Him today. It'll be the most important decision you'll ever make in your entire life. The Bible says that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no man can come unto the Father but through Jesus. Salvation is through Jesus Christ alone, and a very simple process. You must repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you of them. The next step is to ask Jesus to come into your heart and your life. You must then turn away from your life of sin to avoid going to hell, which is an eternal place of torment. You are now a new creation in Christ Jesus, born again. You should be baptized by immersion in water, and you must find Christian fellowship and begin Bible reading. We welcome you into the family of God. May God bless you with His mighty presence in your life today. And remember, your financial investment in this ministry sends the gospel of the good news around the world. Thank you, and God bless you.